So today we're going to be in Matthew 22. So today's message is going to be titled Death and Taxes. You guys have heard this, right? Have you ever heard the saying, the one thing we all have in common is death and taxes, right? You guys hear that? Maybe you're too young, I don't know. That's just something, it's always been kind of a, something that's been an old age debate for years. So today, hopefully when you leave, you'll have a better understanding of death and taxes. All right, so we're going to begin in Matthew 22. We'll be in verses 15 through 22. We're going to break that down a little bit. And then we're going to go from 22 to 33, and then we'll try to break that down the best we can. So let's start here in 15. It says, then the Pharisees went out and laid plans to trap him in his words. They sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians. Teacher, they said, we know that you are a man of integrity and that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. You aren't swayed by others because you pay no attention to who they are. Tell us then, what is your opinion? Is it right to pay the imperial tax to Caesar or not? But Jesus, knowing the evil intent, said, you hypocrites, why are you trying to trap me? Show me the coin used for paying the tax. So they brought him a denarius, and he asked them, whose image is this? And whose inscription? Caesar's, they replied. Then he said to them, go give back to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's. When they heard this, they were amazed, so they left him and went away. So the Herodians that they're talking about here, you guys have seen as we've been breaking down other chapters, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, and now we've got the Herodians, right? The Herodians really aren't mentioned much in the Bible other than in a couple chapters in the New Testament. And they really were they were Jews who supported the Herodian dynasty, and they also joined with the Pharisees to oppose Jesus. So we don't really know much about them other than just a few verses that they're mentioned in. And so as they're challenging Jesus again, we've been seeing this as we've been going through the whole book. Does this look familiar to you guys at all? Of any of the other things we've done? We've been studying the book of Matthew, and we keep coming about all these challenges, right? Challenge the Pharisees, the Sadducees. You guys, can you remember any other challenges that we've gone through so far in the last couple weeks? Any challenges that the Pharisees and Sadducees have been challenging Jesus with? Anything? Come on, Brandon. Come on now, TJ. What about Matthew 16, right? They started challenging Jesus for a sign, right? They were like, give us a sign, right? You're the Messiah. We want to see a sign. What about in chapter 19? We just went through that a couple weeks ago about divorce, right? They were challenging Jesus about divorce, saying that, you know, they issued this certificate. And remember, we had that big debate on that. We went over that extensively. And then what about, like, they even challenged Jesus about the disciples, right? About not following the traditions. And that was back in chapter 15. Do you guys remember that? They were challenging Jesus, the disciples, because they weren't following the traditions. And we went through the law. We went through traditions and the differences. You guys remember that? Okay, good. So what we're about to see here in these verses is the Sadducees and the Herodians are really trying to trap Jesus. They are doing this so they can take what Jesus says or what he's able to do, and they're going to try to use that against him, right? They're going to try to use that. They're going to try to discredit who he is. And they're going to try to discredit his work, but every time they keep going away. And we're going to see this more and more. We're going to dig into that a little bit deeper. Does this sound familiar to any of you guys, like kind of what's going on today in this world, right? You guys see that, especially on the internet. It's crazy right now. Like a lot of the things, someone starts a story. Have you guys seen a story, whether it's true or whether it's false? Someone starts a story. And the next thing you know, it just goes like viral, right? They call it viral internet. It goes, takes off. And then people, whether they know the whole story, whether they have the truth, or whether it's a false story or not, they start their own opinion on it. They start giving their own advice, their own opinion. And they start giving their feelings, right? We saw that we see that a lot. People attacking certain individuals. And even though we don't have all the facts, but we still will discredit people. We get on these high horses, pride, right? Our pride, sometimes ignorance and arrogance, and we start attacking things, even if we don't know the whole story. And certain people, they're challenging Jesus all the time. And we see that, right? Whether they know the truth or not, whether they see what's going on or not, they challenge him. And we're going to break this down, which is going to really start opening your eyes. So they're trying to challenge the Messiah, but every time they have to walk away, right? In amazement. It tells us right here in, they heard what he said, they were amazed, so they left him and went away in chapter 22. And we see that over and over again in the Bible. They challenge Jesus. He comes out. He gives them a prophecy, or he gives them some kind of teaching. And they're just like, wow, they're so amazed. And what's crazy is we see it over and over again, but these people continue to challenge him. But they say, teacher, they said, we know that you are a man of integrity, that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. You aren't swayed by others because you pay no attention to who they are. He didn't care if you were president. He didn't care if you were, you know, Caesar. What he cared about really was what he came to do, and then he cares about us, our hearts, right? And he wasn't persuaded. You couldn't buy him with money. You couldn't buy him with fancy cars. You couldn't buy him with all these great clothes, right? It says, we know that you are a man of integrity. And this is what really blows my mind. They start off the challenge with, hey, we know you have integrity, and you teach the way of God, and you're not swayed by others. And really, they even admit to Jesus that he is a man of integrity, right? They're admitting right here, when they go to challenge him, that he's a man of integrity. He's not persuaded. So who in their right mind could ever really challenge him? I don't really understand it. I can't comprehend it. But they continue. This is what blows me away. And it reminds me of a verse that is so powerful, and it really kind of breaks it down to why somebody could challenge Jesus. You see him over again healing, right? We went through the book of Matthew. We see him healing people. We see him healing lepers, blind. We see him doing all these miraculous things, and people continue to discredit him and continue to challenge him. And that's where we see 1 Peter 5, verse 8. We're going to read the whole chapter. We're going to start in 5, verse 8. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Right? Satan has a lot of strongholds on this earth, right? He controls a lot of things. A lot of people does a lot of things. So you got to look at, are these people in their right mind? Are they controlled by the Spirit? Are they being led by Satan? In 1 Peter 5:5, we'll read through all the way to verse 10, 11. It says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to the elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you, to him be the glory, the dominion forever and ever. So really, we want to pay attention to verse 5:8. The devil, right, Satan, our adversary, he roams around like a raging lion. We see that in this world. There's so many things. I know you guys look at the news. You know, you look at things, history, right? And we're like, how could somebody be so evil, right? Look at the things like Hitler and Mao and all these other leaders that have killed, mass murdered millions of people, right? We say, how could somebody do such a thing? And we look, that Satan, man, he is out there. He walks around. Let me tell you something that I hope you can take with you, that when you grow up and you start experiencing the world, Satan uses people. Okay, you see it every day. I see it out there on the news and everything right now. Just like I feel he was using people then. He was challenging people, right? He even challenged Jesus, right? We read about him challenging Jesus. And he will take everything that you have. He'll take everything from everyone. He will promise you all kinds of glory, right? He promised that to Jesus. Kneel down and I'll give you all these things, right? He promises those things. He will shower you with all kinds of power and strength while on this earth, and when he is done with you, he will just cast you away like a piece of trash. He doesn't care about you. He cares about what you can do for him at this moment, and when he's done with you, he will throw you away like trash. He will use you if you let him, and he will use up all of your gifts, and when he's done with you, man, he will just cast you away. He will show no mercy on you at all whatsoever. So we see here the word integrity. Can anyone tell me what that word means? Give me a definition. What does that word mean? Integrity. You look like you got it. Come on, Elijah. What is integrity? You don't know?
Isn't it kind of like when you have morals and like...
Yes. So integrity, right? When I worked for the sheriff's department, we had these signs and they were in all the departments. And it said, integrity is doing the right thing even when no one is looking, okay? Doing the right thing even when no one's looking. So the definition is the quality of being honest and having strong morals, moral principle, moral uprightness, right? So these people are challenging Jesus. They come to him and they say, we know that you are a man of integrity. Here they are going to challenge him, and they're telling him, we know that you're a man of integrity and that you do all these things and you teach the word of God. So I really just don't understand how they could challenge him. But still through their pride and their egos, right, that's what happens with man. We're so prideful and we have such an ego that we'll go out there and we challenge Jesus. Even as Christians, we challenge him. Right? There's a lot of things that we struggle with and things that we have to fight off on our own battles. But you saw last week in verse 14, Caleb probably taught on this. It said, many are called, but only a few are chosen. In Matthew 22:14, you guys remember that? He said, many are called, but only few are chosen. The invitation of salvation, it goes out to the whole world. Everyone has a chance for the free gift of salvation. It's there for all of us. It's a free gift. There's no strings attached to it. The chosen, which I hope everyone in this room is, that's somebody that has taken that gift of salvation, right? Has taken the call. We are called. We've taken that call, and we have given our life. We've responded and received Christ, right? We believe that Christ died. We believe that Christ rose again. The Greek word for the called would be elect, or the chosen. The chosen would be elect, right? You see that in the Bible a lot of times too. But he's hoping that we are chosen, and I hope that everyone here has heeded to that call and sincerely responded to Jesus, giving your life to him. And we see in Ephesians 1:4, it says, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. So even before he made the world, right, he knew he was going to call, and he knew the ones that were going to be chosen, the ones that were going to really accept his call. And I hope that you guys have accepted that call, salvation. So let's get back here to verse 18, it says, but Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, why do you test me, you hypocrites? Show me the tax money. So they brought him a denarius. And he said to them, whose image and inscription is this? And they said to him, it's Caesar's. And he said to them, render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God's. When they heard these words, they marveled and left him and went away. Jesus perceived their wickedness, so he gives them the most unexpected answer in which they can't respond. They just sit in total amazement, right? And they have to sit there and ponder, like, what did he just tell us? This is crazy. And I really feel that this is what the Herodians and the Pharisees look like. We're going to play the video, TJ, right here. This is what they look like. They were like, that's what they look like. That's what they answered them. Do it again. They were like, that's what, every time I see that, I read this, it's what it reminds me of. They didn't even know what to say. They were like, what? What was that? And had to walk away. It's crazy. Now we see another challenge coming up. So in 23 to 33, the same day, the Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to him with a question. Teacher, they said, Moses told us that if a man dies without having children, his brother must marry the widow and raise up offspring for him. Right? Remember they challenged about divorce? About, oh, Moses did this and Moses did that? Now there were seven brothers among us. The first one married and died, and since he had no children, he left his wife to his brother. The same thing happened to the second and third brother, right on down to the seventh. Finally, the woman died. Now then, at the resurrection, whose wife will she be of the seven, since all of them were married to her? So Jesus replies, you are in error because you do not know the scriptures or the power of God. At the resurrection, people will neither marry nor be given into marriage. They will be like the angels in heaven. But about the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what God said to you? I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. When the crowds heard this, they were astonished at his teachings. Right? And what do you think they did? What did they look like? They were astonished, right? And they had to walk away. So here we see the Sadducees who, it states, don't even believe in the resurrection. They don't believe in the resurrection, but yet they're still challenging Jesus about it. They try to trap him once again, and he just totally blows their minds. So every time you read through this, you could just see the little minion going, what? That's what they look like. It blew their minds. They didn't know. So remember, we kids right now, we serve the creator of the universe, okay? We serve the living God. In Psalms 115, who wants to read a Psalms? Who wants to read a Psalms 115? All right, let's pull it out. Psalms 115. It talks about a statue has a mouth but cannot speak. It has ears but it cannot hear, right? But our God, we pray to him, we can talk to him, we can have a relationship with him because our God is a living God. No, it's fine. I'll give him this one. I'll just pull it up. You ready? All right, go ahead.
Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but to your name give glory. Because of your mercy, because of your truth, why should the Gentiles say, so where is their God? But our God is in heaven. He does whatever he pleases. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths but do not speak, eyes they have but do not see. They have ears but they do not hear, noses they have but they do not smell. They have hands but they do not handle, feet they have but they do not walk, nor do they mutter through their throat. Those who make them are like them. So is everyone who trusts in them. O Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord.
So we serve a living God, right? Our God is not dead. He's not an idol. He's not made of stone. He's not made of wood. He's not a carving. We serve a God that created the entire universe and you in it. And he knew you before he even created it. That's what's so crazy about this. He knew us. He knew how many hairs on our head. He knew the color of our skin. He knew who we were going to be before he created the universe. That is crazy. That's mind-blowing, right? I can't even remember what I had for lunch yesterday. Sometimes I forget to tie my shoes, right? And what he is able to do, it just can't even comprehend it. Oh, is that what we had? We had burgers? Okay. See? Good thing he's here. So, Isaiah spoke the words in Isaiah 43. It says, but now this is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. That's pretty amazing, right? We have a Savior that we believe on. We've been called. We saw that in chapter 14 last week when Caleb taught. And hopefully you guys are chosen. Hopefully you had taken that call. But death, really, death is going to be so different for us. I know sometimes we mourn death. Everyone mourns it differently. But as Christians, as believers, we will be like the angels in heaven. Death is going to be so different for us, right? We had some really good friends pass away this year. We lost Coach Morrow passed away, right? But he was a Christian. It was a believer. And we had another friend of ours, Nadine, right? She passed away. But she was a believer. So we know life, death is so different for us as believers. He tells us right here. And how amazing that day is going to be for us, right? Live your life to the fullest. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and live like today is the last day of your life. All right? That's what we got to look for. That's what we got to do. Live like today is our last day. Let's pray. Dearly Father, Lord, we just thank you for your message. We just are so grateful for what you have for us, Lord, and just the words that you have put in paper in this instruction book that you have given us. And I pray, Lord, that everyone in here will take this book throughout the week and they will read it and they will grow in your word so that they can be the light in this lost world, Lord. So thankful, Father, for what you have given us. Thankful for everyone that's here, Lord. I pray that you will put your hand of healing upon everyone that's here that is sick and in the other congregation, Lord, that you will heal them, help them, Father, to overcome these ailments and illnesses. And we just thank you, Father God, for your love for us. We thank you for everything that you do for us, Father. We praise you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen.